Well, I had several things. I'm just gonna get started on some stuff and then come back and finish it next week. I heard John's been preaching short, huh? Has he? Been letting you out of here quick, and it's summertime, and we'll build you back up to full strength by fall. How's that? But I'm really encouraged by the impact that's beginning to build with the VBS in Larson Park. That's a strategic move to move into that area. We were really wanting to reach beyond just church kids. There's kind of a joke out there about VBSs. It's called VBS daycare. A lot of people, Christians, will call that. And what will happen is when their kids are out of school, parents will just go up and sign up their kids for all the various VBSs all through the summer, and they get free childcare that way. And that's cool. But essentially, what we wanted to do was not service families, Christian families, alone. You know, we're open to that, and we love to have our kids participate, and we want to minister, but we also wanted to be able to reach into our neighborhood. Larson Park is right over here. That is just a strategic area. We're involved with the school a little bit over there. I think we'd like to expand that. There are some kids there and families that really, really have needs. That's the Christensen's neighborhood, right? You know, Eric and Maki, they live over there. That's a challenging family. They really need the Lord. They need help. We need to reach out to them. Eric's giving me the look, but picking on him. But the reality of it is there's lots of kids that need help. There's lots of families that need help, and we continue to figure out how to try to target that. As far as this situation is concerned, we realized after the first year being over there that we can't do VBS every other year. That VBS needs to be done every year in that park. We needed to make a commitment to that because the momentum needed to build, the relationships needed to build, and after the second year, like Lacey said, you had kids that knew about us, knew about the event, and showed up and brought back their friends, and that's only going to increase more. And if we have kids that are moving into middle school, junior high school age, then we need to be looking at how to connect with them on a youth group level and things like that. And, there are all kinds of possibilities, you know, things that go around in the back of my mind. This is just unofficial jabbering in my own mind. Nothing's been decided here, but there are, big brother, little brother, and tutoring, and, you know, relationship building skills that change people's lives, and that kind of thing. One thing that's really important, though, is that we understand relationships. And I wanted to look at Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28, because it talks about kind of the prototypical, the model marriage relationship. And unfortunately, in the Western world, we have a really super romanticized, this is the fulfillment of what makes me happy kind of understanding of marriage and relationships. And that trickles down to our kids, that, you know, in terms of what parents think of their kids. I have kids because I want someone to love me, or I have my friends, you know, they're here to make me happy, or those kinds of things. And we come and go, and commitments and covenants and those kinds of things are only made in the context of, well, as long as it makes me happy and I enjoy it. And we've lost kind of the real purpose in relationships. And we've lost really the will to fight for them and to cultivate them. We've taken a very shallow, dim kind of viewpoint on what's important. One example in this VBS situation, you know, when we're talking about VBS, is people who really suffer in that are these kids. When their aunts and uncles, moms and dads, when there's bad things happen in the context of their immediate and extended family and in the friends of their family, the kids don't have the stability to safely grow. They don't have we know from our educators in our church, which I want to pray for in a couple of weeks, because school's starting, but we know from our educators that kids don't learn very well without a safe, secure home. They don't have the foundations to take risks and connect, and they're distracted by survival. And, you know, the students that Robin works with as an interventionist in the reading area are kids who have had incredible traumatic events in their lives. You know, sometimes a child will come in and say, "Grandpa got shot, got murdered this weekend. I'm kind of having a bad day." Well, of course you are. But in their mind, you know, that's almost not too many steps away from normal, see? And so one of the huge things that we can do as adults, grown-ups in this room, we're the grown-ups. As people who are Christians, who say we are confessing Jesus as our Lord, is to grow up into Christ in a way that provides health and stability. No matter how broken we are, we're all going to do this dragging a leg. Does that make sense to you when I say that? We're all going to do this with some wounds. We've all got stuff. But when we take this common focus of growing up into Christ and becoming adult, then we provide safety and health and foundations for the next generations. We provide a different world. And there's biblical stuff that talks about this that helps us. And there is empowerment from the Holy Spirit that helps us, see? And these are things that we try to emulate in our nurseries and in our children's ministries and those kinds of things to expand to that. But this is an hour, you know, a week for a lot of these kids. So we also need to be challenging us as parents to have the kind of foundation within our home that the power of it ripples through. You know, through your family, extended family, and into the relationships that you're connected with. And so, over the next couple of weeks, I want to talk a little bit about this model relationship, this Adam and Eve thing. This is, I think there was happiness because they were together. There was, you know, they weren't lonely anymore. I think there was romance and intimacy. But none of that was the major reason they were together. The major reason was because God had something for them to do and be. And first of all, they were, if we read the scripture, and I will eventually get to it, it says that God created man, male and female, in his image. It represents God. And when we function in our relationships and we forgive and we give grace and we work together and all those kinds of things, when we fail and someone offers forgiveness, all those aspects of God can be demonstrated. His character, who he is, and his love and acceptance can be demonstrated in that. And Adam and Eve were created. All of us were created to live in paradise, but this is a broken world. It is a broken world. There's all kinds of stuff. We need to have some major true north, some major empowering presence of God that helps us navigate this broken world until it comes to the point of restoration. We aren't just here holding out, guys, hoping to be good enough to make it to heaven. The place that you live right now, this planet that you're on, isn't going to just go away and then we're going to end up in some giant harp-driven worship service with wings in heaven. It says that the spiritual New Jerusalem will return and this entire place will be restored. The glimpses of the glory of what it will be show up in the beauty of our everyday lives. And if we begin to focus upon what God asks us to do in this relational process as families and as a church, we see bigger and better glimpses of what the restored future will look like, and we will be able to demonstrate it. No matter how screwed up we are, no matter how rough our lives are, we can still allow the glory of God's kingdom to appear through us, and we can sense it and see it and demonstrate it. So if we look at this Genesis 26 through 28, and I'm just about done. It says this, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, the livestock of the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground.'" We are asked to be here to be stewards of this spiritual place. Not just the management of carbon credits and recycling our plastic. It's first of all a management of the spiritual. We are spiritual stewards of this realm. And as Westerners, we have lost that perspective that this is more than a material world. This is a place where heaven and earth connect. See, and before we're going to solve the restoration of the planet, or God's going to do that, we have got to turn our hearts towards God and recognize that we are the ones who invites God to be here and have His way here. And that changes our lives, and that changes the lives around other people. All the other things will fall into place. There will be, and the one who created the planet can restore it. The one who created the heavens, who created the universe, can restore it. And He will. But right now, He has asked us to steward it spiritually, and to entertain His presence. And to demonstrate it to other people so that they will know that there's hope coming. There's hope that things are going to come in. The ultimate hope is going to be here of God's rule completely in the restoration of this planet. If we put our ultimate hope in anything else, we're going to be gravely disappointed. We're going to do stuff like steal an airplane and fly it into an island. So God created human beings in His own image, and in the image of God He created them, male and female He created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish and the sea and the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry above the ground." Take care of this place. There's a lot of problems in marriages and other kinds of relationships like that, friendships, parenting, all that kind of stuff. But we've got to zero in why is it that we're together with this husband, this wife, this son, this daughter, these friends? What's this purpose? Is it the pursuit of happiness, or is it the revelation of what God wants to do in our lives? What's the purpose of your relationship? If you can realize that there's something bigger than your own fulfillment in a relationship, then you can endure the disappointment when things aren't going quite right. It gives you a strong motivation to fight and to seek God for what is right and healthy. Something that's more important. I think of that even in the context of living on the planet. Challenging things happen in my life and in my family's life and in your life. But when I realize that the reason that I am here is not just to enjoy it. I mean, there are glimpses of the fulfilled paradise when we get out and see nature. I love to fly fish. I love to do the things that show me just slices of what it used to be and what it will be. And I would tell you to pursue God in that, to do that and enjoy that. Don't just think, well, it's all going to burn. It's not all going to burn. But when you have this big picture that the real reason we're here is to bring this hope of this restoration, this hope of salvation to people, and to reflect the glory of God, and to encourage and serve other people and bless them, and I can endure all kinds of crazy stuff because I don't have to experience it all here right now today. I am free to enjoy what comes and I don't need to lament what doesn't happen. There's kind of the myth of the bucket list. Oh, that's on my bucket. We all said that. It's on my bucket list. We only have a bucket list many times, many people only have a bucket list because they believe that once they have kicked the bucket, they have no more ability to experience anything wonderful. So we better get it all done before we're dead. And that's not true with us. If you're a follower of Jesus, anything that you experience right now, as great as it is just a flicker of a foretaste of what is coming. I heard a story about these beautiful wild areas on the island of Kauai. High bluffs of grassy areas that overlook the ocean. You know, typical magazine cover scenes. You know, whales and dolphins out there and just beauty and nature and all that kind of stuff. And there is a movement to try to preserve that because all of that land is going to be developed into 5-acre ranchettes, and lands and homes will be about $20 million. So the only way you will be able to experience this location is to buy some little slice of a revelation of the coming restoration of the kingdom on earth for $20 million. And when we have no hope, when we do not believe that God is involved with this process, whether it's relationships or whatever it is, then we are desperate. Our ultimate hope becomes to be able to buy the biggest and best piece of eternal paradise that we can afford right now. And if we can't, then we're disappointed and even destroyed or even suicidal. Without the ultimate hope of understanding where we're going in any kind of relationship, in any process of life, we can get overzealous with the idolatry of bucket lists that is not healthy for us and will destroy us. But thanks to God, isn't it great? We do not have to be limited to that. We can be set free with the hope of restoration, which allows us to take advantage and enjoy every moment of blessing and foretaste and revelation that God gives us now. We are free to not have to worry about our happiness. We can give to other people and enjoy the results of that. We can find our happiness in serving God and each other and be satisfied and realize that for all eternity you will be living in a restored paradise where the concept of a bucket list is not needed. And that starts in the midst of our relationships, little by little, every day. Amen. Amen. Next week I'll tell you about 5 aspects of the very first marriage, but I'm not going to do it this week because you look done. You're finished. Why don't you stand up? Lord, we thank you that we're not just having to hunker down here till the end, but that we can know you, and we can have confidence in what the Word of God says, that there is restoration coming and that we're a part of it right now. God, I pray that you would visit our hearts, Lord. I pray blessing on these guys today, Lord. I pray for those who are out enjoying themselves or can't be here for whatever reason, Lord. Be with them, give to them, Lord. I pray for a dynamic windfall of your fullness on the lives of other people here. God, I pray we would learn to just be satisfied in the hope of who you are and what you're doing so that we can enjoy every moment with you now, Father God. Lord, I pray blessing on these guys. In the name of Jesus, amen.